Bum 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum.
That's brilliant.
Bum, 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 bum.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 21.
You're supposed to open it like the Clone Wars.
And be
like,
yeah, well, you know. Anyway. Hey, what's going on, Johnny?
Disturbance on Volusia.
Hey, this is Brian. I'm with Johnny.
Yes.
He's losing his damn mind.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning?
It is.
It's about the time I lose my damn mind.
We're
every
recording
morning.
At 10 o'clock in the morning, which is different. Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right.
So this episode's going to be a little bit different. We are going to just talk about one topic.
The Walking Dead.
No. No, we'll do that in February.
Well, actually, so. I don't know what episodes we're talking about, but there might be some Walking Dead.
Yeah. All right. So the countdown to The Force Awakens is on. We're, what, 9 days out? 8 days? What's today's date?
I don't
know. Yeah, the 10th. We're like 8 days out from The Force Awakens. So... we're recording this on the 10th, so when you guys listen to this tomorrow, we'll be 9 days away. Or no, it'll be
seven days away.
I went the wrong way.
You're going back in time.
Yep, weird math. Anyway, but yeah, so what we're going to do is this week we're going to talk about the Clone Wars cartoon from the Cartoon Network. And then next week, the week that the show comes out, we're going to actually talk about Rebels to date. And then
a little bit of Force Awakens talk.
We'll do a little, yeah, and
pre-watching the movie.
And from all of this, yeah, you know, we'll
throw, well, right, yeah, because there's some stuff in there that, you know, in this show that would be cool to see echoes of, you know,
the payoff
50 years later.
Yeah. And then, so yeah, that'll be the show for the next 2 weeks, and then after that we'll get back to regular. We'll talk about Doctor Who. Season 9 just ended. We'll get ready.
Little
we'll do
Christmas
a preview
talk.
For the Christmas talk. And then we'll cover all the mid-season finales that happened just 2 weeks late. And it'll give us time to watch.
Yeah, I was going to say the mid-season finales. It's funny that the mid-season finale for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we won't have them back until March.
Right.
But Flash and Arrow will be back in January.
Yeah, so I was under the impression... that
Legends of Tomorrow
was going to fill that, which I was kind of looking forward to a couple months off from Arrow and Flash to try something new.
You're not allowed to have that.
No, I guess not. Yeah. All right. So, you know, we're calling this episode.
Did you record me as I was doing
that? Yeah, I have you doing
that.
Okay,
so.
So
you don't need the CD.
Well, I'll still, you know, I'll segue it nicely. Anyway. Yeah, so let's just dive right into it.
Sure.
So Johnny made this awesome list and broke down some of our favorite arcs and episodes. I went through it, and he's like, yeah, just add whatever you want. And he actually nailed all of the ones I wanted, plus probably, you know, 10 or 15 more.
Yeah, I really went through and, like, pretty much with a knife and cut out every good thing that I remembered. And then went back and watched, like, the first and second season episodes that because I'm like... What, it's been how many years since it's been on? 2008?
2008.
So, yeah, I hadn't watched those first two seasons since I first watched those first two seasons.
So, when it was on live, like, I would catch it every now and then.
Yeah.
Like, I would see, like, a commercial during, like, Young Justice or something and, like, be like, oh, cool, I'm going to watch this arc. Like,
yeah.
I never watched it, like, regularly.
Oh, okay.
Not because I didn't like it, just because there was, like, so much other stuff going on.
I think that the first season, we didn't watch the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it for that Christmas, and we literally just blew through it. And the second season had come on.
Yeah.
So we were watching the second season and watching the first season at the same time, pretty much. But it was like, it's one of those shows where you didn't have to necessarily watch the first season to watch the second season, except for the fact that some characters got introduced and you're like, oh, okay,
yeah,
that's where that person came from.
Yeah.
Hondo Ohkona being one of the major ones.
And for me, it was when it all landed on Netflix.
Yeah.
And you blew
through the whole thing.
The Kidbot and I, it started out, the Kidbot and I were sitting down to watch, and then... I got to the point where I just didn't want to wait
for
her.
You were watching, yeah.
So I was watching and then going back and rewatching. So, I don't know. I'm so excited about Star Wars right now. I'm in Star Wars t-shirt mode for the next week. You know,
I'm just always in Star Wars mode.
Well, true. But I've got, like, my T-Fury Rebels t-shirt today. I actually have a shirt specifically for the premiere that I got a couple weeks ago that I haven't worn yet because I'm a dork. But
you're
it's
not
a
dressing
cool...
in costume?
No, I don't. I don't even dress up for Halloween. Oh, I'm lame that way.
Thinking of that, you don't watch commercials that much, but you have to go on, it might be on Target's website.
It's probably on
you
YouTube.
Have to watch the Target commercial with the stormtroopers.
Okay.
And it's literally a story going on in the Target commercials for Christmas where the kids are journeying to, I guess, Christmas land or something.
Okay.
And at one point, they've encountered the Lego guys. They've encountered a Twizzler squid. And in this most recent one I've seen, they encounter stormtroopers.
Okay.
And there's a fun little thing with the Target dog and the stormtroopers in there.
Do they try and shoot him and just miss
grossly? No, they're not carrying guns at all.
Weird.
Well, it's a kid's commercial, I get it.
So it's like, are they carrying walkie-talkies? So are they carrying walkie-talkies or no?
Nothing.
No. So
they're just marching.
Okay.
And like the kids are sneaking through, it looks like Candy Drop Land, I guess. And they see them.
Yeah.
And then the troopers spot them and chase them.
Okay.
And then there's some cool stuff that happens at the end of the commercial.
Yeah, I'll check it out. It
was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and like literally every other commercial was Star Wars related.
Okay.
There was two car commercials, that Target commercial. The one car commercial was cool because it was, I forget which brand, but literally the front car was a black car.
Okay.
And it was just a bunch of white cars that looked like clone troopers or stormtroopers following.
Like Kylo Ren and...
Yeah. Yeah, literally. And they pull up to the movie theater and the valet is like, we're going to need more valets.
You know, I don't understand necessarily why they're doing so much marketing.
Because it's Disney.
But they don't have to.
It's the Disney machine.
It's just so much money that they don't have to spend.
All right.
Let's hop into Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Because we'll be on this tangent. I mean, we've been at this for 6 minutes and we haven't talked about what we want to talk about yet. All right. So season one, it started with the movie,
which released in theaters. It was supposed to be just 4 episodes.
Right.
But they crammed them together, put them in the theater, and I don't think it was successful.
It was okay.
In the theater. I didn't go see it.
The only good thing that came out of those first 4 episodes, other than kicking off the series, was the introduction of Ahsoka Tano.
Ahsoka Tano. Snips.
Oh, Snips. You know, she was great for kids. Kids loved her.
Yeah, it's a character that was, you know, I think pretty much made for the kids.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, if you read any of the behind-the-scenes stuff, she wasn't there at the beginning. In the planned storyline. So, bringing her in and, you know, showing more of Anakin.
Yeah.
More of Obi-Wan and Anakin. I mean, you know, Anakin, even though he was a developed character, he was an underdeveloped character.
He was grossly underdeveloped.
Yeah. Vader being as developed as he is,
right.
On the flip side, Anakin was not developed that much at all. He was just flirty Anakin and, you know, angry Anakin.
Right.
And it's like in the whole series and even in that beginning movie, there's more to Anakin.
Oh, yeah.
There's definitely more.
We hear so much about why he is great.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just one of those things where it's like there was no payoff in the movies for that.
No.
But throughout the entire Clone Wars, I found myself like, man, this is the Anakin I wanted to see.
Well, and it's one of those things where it would have been nice if this would have been developed when they were doing the movies.
Right.
And, you know, had something to tie to the movies, like during that period of time when they were in production and we weren't having a movie out, this show airing while that was happening and literally would have went into episode 3, which, you know, they did the Tartakovsky,
which was amazing. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was cool, but it was literally just Samurai Jack Clone Wars.
Right.
Because, I mean, it was great graphics, looked good, the action figures looked cool stories. And that, but it didn't have any like gravitas to
It wasn't really tied in.
Yeah.
Like they tied in Grievous a little bit at the end, and it was really a vehicle to introduce General Grievous,
right?
And why he had asthma.
And that's the thing is, like in this version, he just has that problem,
right?
And I think that problem had to do with his being converted over to, you know, part machine, part being. Yeah.
Cyborg.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, literally, he was the pre-experiment for Darth Vader.
Right. And, I mean, that kicks us off into the very first episode that we have here. The Lair of General Grievous. This was a great one. It highlighted Kit Fisto, who was one of those ones that you saw in Attack of the Clones with the long flowy tentacles and the big black eyes. You know,
Phil Lamar playing Mephisto.
Right. So, you know, in his Padawan who had recently graduated to become a Jedi Knight.
Yep.
And I think what this episode did well is that it really showcased the arrogance of the Jedi.
Of the younger Jedis, especially.
Let me rephrase. The warborn Jedi.
How about that?
Because they were... And he was kind of the antithesis to what Ahsoka was. Because he was one who was, you know, slash first, ask questions later.
Right.
You know, he excelled at the physical side of the Force, but was not in touch with the spiritual side.
Right.
And I think when you look at... When you go through this series, and this was like kind of the first glimmer of why the Jedi were ultimately going to fail, the Masters did not do a good enough job teaching throughout the entire series.
Well, right.
So this was the opening shot of
the
that.
The problem with the Masters were they were shoehorned into the job of being generals.
Right.
They shouldn't have been,
you're right.
A Jedi Master should have never been a general of an army.
No.
They weren't meant to be generals of armies. They were meant to be protectors of the universe, not leaders of an army.
Right.
I mean, that's brought up continuously through the series. Mm-hmm.
We're peacekeepers. We're not warriors.
Right, like, yeah. And it's like, you know, some of them were better at fighting.
Right.
Because some of them had a lot of experience with, you know, as protectors, you have to fight.
Yeah.
And then the others had been in the Jedi Temple and not been out
mm-hmm.
in the real world, quote unquote, of, you know, the Star Wars universe.
Right.
And they hadn't seen, you know, some of the treachery and
getting
some of
to the Outer Rim. And
Grievous himself is, you know, a weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, he himself, the body and everything is a weapon. And then you have, you know, in the backstory of General Grievous, he was one of the greatest generals on his planet.
Right.
And, I mean, you have that brain in that body, and it's, like, just the most dangerous thing in the universe now. And to put, you know, a green Jedi Master, not speaking of Kit Fisto, but a green Nundar Bob being a green Jedi Master and thinking, you know, for the glory of it all, I will fight General Grievous and I will beat him.
And the you know, the wanting to go one-on-one. But, like, you looked at, was it Klo Foon? Is that how you say it? The guy who had like the mask.
Oh, Plo Koon.
Plo Koon, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, he was a great example of one who like walked that line of like warrior and monk.
Right.
Right. And then the other one who, oh man, I'm having like such brain farts, who had like the horns that came down over his
shoulders.
Stacey
Tin.
Yeah. Like, he was the opposite, where like, he was on the Jedi Council and he had no business being there because he was just a war hawk.
Yeah.
You know, Mace Windu was not a good Jedi.
I don't know that he wasn't a good Jedi. I think he was too good of a Jedi to be a general.
Maybe, yeah.
And Yoda, obviously being as old as he was, had seen a lot of stuff go down. And I think that he was probably one of the best leaders of a clone army.
Yeah.
Because he already knew. I mean, I think that Yoda history tied back to the fall of the Old Republic.
Right.
And, you know, he had seen some of that, you know, they fighting the Mandalores
mm-hmm.
back in the day when he was probably a young Jedi at the time.
Yeah, he was a Padawan.
So, but I mean, you know, the whole thing with getting trapped in the castle was not their plan. That was Dooku's plan.
Right.
You know, and Grievous being tested and, you know, Grievous being the general he was, did not like being tested.
Right.
And it's like, it reflected throughout the whole series that he didn't like Dooku. He didn't like Sidious.
Right.
He just was doing the job that he was hired to do, pretty much. I mean, he was more of a mercenary
than
anything. But this castle that he had...
It was so cool.
Well, it was cool because when they walk in, there's a statue of a person. They don't know who it is.
Yeah.
And it's General Grievous before he was the droid.
Yeah.
General Grievous.
Like humanoid.
Yeah. I mean, there's a story. There was a trade paperback out that Dark Horse did called Star Wars Visionaries.
Uh-huh.
And it tells the origin story of General Grievous.
Cool.
And that's how I recognized, I seen this, I was like, oh, yeah, that's Grievous before he was Grievous.
I mean, I kind of like figured it out because it was called the lair of General Grievous.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's like, okay, that's Grievous. And like, it's fun. Like, they would do that where they would fill the viewer in right. what was happening, and you got to watch the Jedi try and figure it out.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a cool episode, and, you know, a lot of clones died.
Yeah.
I was telling her, I said, when I started rewatching these and was writing the notes down, I'm like, I should have been marking down how many clones die in each episode.
You would have run out of ink.
Dude, man, it was like, it's like, you know, yeah.
And so, you know, we'll get back to this real quick, but you bring up an excellent point. And you could tell the Jedi who viewed the clones as humans and as men.
Right.
And then the ones who viewed them as cannon fodder.
Right.
And the ones who viewed them as men were always the more successful Jedi.
Right.
And you know, they weren't necessarily always the higher level.
Mace comes in, because Mace didn't look at him like...
No. They weren't always the highest level Jedi either. Right. Like, you know, but... Or, you know, even, like, new Jedi. But, like, Anakin valued them, you know? And to me, that's what made that character so special in this series.
Right, yeah.
Is, like, not only did he want to survive, or not only did he want to complete his mission, but he wanted to bring everybody home.
Right.
And... That was the Anakin that we kind of like heard about.
Right. Yeah. The great general.
The great general. The greatest pilot in the galaxy.
Who always crashes the ships.
Which is awesome. So I loved that ship, that like B-Wing-esque, the Twilight
mm-hmm.
that he had for the first couple seasons.
Yeah.
And I was really sad when that thing went away. But all right. So the other one you have here is the Ryloth.
Yeah, that's three episodes.
And so they would do that a lot. Yeah. They would do like three, maybe four sometimes if the story
needed it. Right, yeah, we had this debate before we even, like when we were planning the show, where it's like, you know, there's single episodes that were really good, and then there's episodes that were part of an arc.
Right.
And it's like, there were some arcs where part of it was not really good, and then the end of it was good, or the beginning of it was good. And so Ryloth was the... was actually where the Separatists had taken over the planet. The Twi'leks are from Ryloth. Right. And they
so
literally...
So for people who don't know, just the Twi'leks are a race.
They have what are called Lakus.
Mm-hmm.
Jabba's slave girl that he drops into the Rancor pit was a Twi'lek. That's the best description I can give.
Yeah, so just for people who aren't super familiar with
the I can't remember
races.
Her name. The Jedi that was... that Amy Allen portrayed in...
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
I can't remember her name, but, like, she shows up later on in the series, but she was pretty much one of the faces of Attack of the Clones.
Right.
And she's a Twi'lek.
Yeah.
And that, but, yeah, they literally, the Separatists are using them as quote-unquote human shields around their guns and all that, and the first part of the story shows Ahsoka leading a group of clones into battle around orbit because there's a blockade, and she literally loses the entire group.
Right.
And it shows how she was kind of the same way as Nandar was, mm-hmm. and assuming that she could do anything.
Well, and I think part of that was who her master is.
Yeah.
And the leeway he gave her. As a Padawan?
Well, and it happened in the first couple seasons where she would overcompensate because he was so good at what he did
right.
that she was trying to be like him, mm-hmm. and she had to find her own path, I think is what the problem was.
And we get to the point in season three where she starts her own
yeah.
path. So, and we'll get to that.
Well, I think even in season two, there's an episode that I...
Yeah, but I mean, in season three, yeah. really, because she sees... A glimpse of what he's going to be.
Oh yeah,
you know. Okay, so sorry, we're way ahead. So yeah, so this was an interesting one because you see them for the first time, like liberating, like,
yeah,
going in and being the aggressors. Which you know, yes, we've seen aggressive Jedi and we right. saw, but like you know, at the end of Attack of the Clones, you know, like it was them defending themselves against the droid army,
right?
You know, a lot of Revenge of the Sith was them defending systems and things like that. But this is them aggressively going in to save people.
Right.
Which is cool, but at the same time, completely outside of, you know, who and what this organization is.
Right. It's not out of the ordinary for the Republic Army and the Clone Army to be there, but the Jedi to be there and, you know, misleading, Ahsoka yeah. misleading the yeah. group and getting them all killed. And then Anakin telling her, hey, that's what happens. You know, that sometimes that's what happens in war. And she literally, like, learns from that lesson. And you see later in that episode where it helps her.
Yeah.
And then once they get through the blockade, you go into this second episode where it focuses on Obi-Wan on Ryloth mm-hmm. with his group, Commander Cody and the 212th, Waxer and Boyle.
Yep.
And they find a little girl that helps them to defeat the army, pretty much.
To get into the position, at least.
Yeah, yeah. They had cannons that were pretty much like you couldn't get down onto the planet, so... This little girl knew how to get through tunnels and that. I said, I was talking to her about it. I said, it would have been cool if this would have been Hera from Rebels. But it was not.
No.
She had a different name. And actually, that ties into the third part of the episode, which was called Liberty on Ryloth, where Mace Windu is trying to get to the capital city and has to call on a group of rebels on the planet. And it's Hera's father, Cam Sedula, who's the leader of this group.
Yep. So, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's cool because it ties everything together with those two universes. There's a lot
and
of...
And he's been talked about as well. Like, yeah. Because he joined the war effort and...
Yeah, he shows up later on in the series,
too. Was a great soldier and warrior himself.
Right.
And kind of... That's where Hera from Rebels gets that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those things where it's interesting because... Wat Tambor is the guy who's been running Ryloth, and he eventually just makes mistakes, and mm-hmm. Count Dooku says, just leave him on the planet, let him get captured.
Yep.
And the droids just leave him there. And one cool thing I noticed was Hera must have an older sister.
Maybe, yeah.
Because Cam literally picks up a little girl, and at the end, she's marching with them through the capital city, so... I'm curious to see if they'll tie that into Rebels at some point.
Yeah, that would be interesting. All right, and then the last episode, Hostage Crisis, is important for really just two main reasons. It introduces us to Cad Bane, and it establishes Zero the Hutt in the Clone Wars universe.
No, Zero was in the...
He was. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Zero
no,
got
Zero's
arrested
in the prison.
It
establishes his network and really his inclinations towards what he wants.
Yeah, this was pretty much just the introducing of Cad Bane was like, kind of cool. And I mean, at one point in the episode, I said it was funny. I wrote it down. I wrote some notes down on some of these. Anakin and Padme almost got outed.
Yeah.
They're, Bail Organa literally walks in and Anakin has to duck under the desk. and he gives her his lightsaber, which is the one thing that you never let go of when you're a Jedi, and shows that he's not a Jedi per se. He has the powers of a Jedi. He knows what a Jedi can do, but I don't think...
You don't think he was ever a true
Jedi.
Jedi in the definition.
Yeah, in the definition of what all those other Jedi running around were, he was not.
Okay.
And I think that was part of their mistake, too, is not... maybe taking on some of what he was doing
as the Jedi.
Yeah.
In general.
The Jedi in general, they were arrogant and
they didn't they have their mandates, like, where knowledge is power basically. And,
no relationships, love, and let go of everything.
And by doing that, being in war, you can't be detached.
Right.
And I think if Anakin showed anything throughout this series, it's love was his guiding man.
Yeah.
Above all else. And it wasn't just for Padme. It was for people. I mean, even as Darth Vader, it's about order. It's about, making sure the universe is how it should
be. Yeah, this is the way he wanted it to be.
Right.
And that no matter how misguided he was, because Sidious was the truly evil one, and he knew he could manipulate somebody who cared that much.
Right.
We're jumping into Revenge of the Sith at this point. So. But I read online that Cad Bane was based loosely off of Lee Van Cleef from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, yeah, makes
sense. I thought that was kind of cool. And this really episode kind of has a Die Hard feel to it.
It does. He's very much John McClane, working his
way. The only
thing
he didn't do was take his shoes off, and that would have been kind of interesting if they would have done that.
Would he have to walk through, lasers?
Broken glass. It still could have been broken glass.
But yeah,
cool ending to the first season.
Yeah,
and I did like the first couple seasons when they ended. It was that something going off, mm-hmm. The long distance shot, and it ended that way, kind of like the movies did at that point. And so then we're going into the second season.
Yeah, so the second season, it had a different, much different tone than the first, because A, you know, the first season I was all about getting that second season picked up.
Well, I think it was the idea too that they didn't know exactly what where they were going to go with the story.
Yeah.
Because, you know, reading some of the details, you know, and I've read some of the books about this stuff, about this show and that. In the beginning, they weren't going to even focus on Anakin and Obi-Wan. Sorry, I was about to put their names together. The story wasn't planned to be any Anakin and Obi-Wan at all. They were going to maybe show up in the background as just, you know, popping in and out. But it was going to be like more Jedi, other Jedi.
Yeah.
And I think that it was a smart decision to, you know, stick with the Jedi we knew.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do have to say there was episodes where Anakin and Obi-Wan don't show up, and they're some of the best episodes.
They are. You know, the Master Luminara.
Yeah.
When she's there.
That Kit Fisto episode with Grievous.
Yeah, the Kit Fisto episode.
And the episode, like the next episode, Lightsaber Lost. Anakin is in it. Obi-Wan is not.
No.
But Anakin's barely in it.
It's an Ahsoka story.
Yeah, Ahsoka and Anakin are looking for criminals on Coruscant down in the lower levels, and her lightsaber gets stolen.
Pickpocketed.
Yeah, literally, like, she gets trapped in a crowd running because, of course, Anakin goes into a bar, and what happens when Anakin goes into a bar? Lightsabers flare, and people run.
All heck breaks loose. So, yeah, no, that was a good one because it showed, and again, it really showed how important the lightsaber is.
Yeah.
It's their life.
Yeah. It's literally my thought always was, and you know, it wasn't in there in my thought for the original trilogy, but with the reading the expanded universe,
yeah, and yeah, all you the, understand you know, it more.
And it's one of those things where it's like you'd cut their arms cut off if they don't have a lightsaber.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, they still have their Jedi powers, but some of them are more developed than others, mm-hmm. and some can use their powers better than others. But the lightsaber is what protects them.
Mm-hmm.
They're protectors of the universe, but their lightsaber is what protects them.
Yeah.
And, you know,
this is my not lightsaber. Having that. There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's that Full Metal Jacket scene where, but, you know, and like the crystals that make up the lightsabers, they're called Kyber crystals.
Right.
They choose the Jedi.
Right.
In most cases. But yeah, no, it was great. You know, again, this is where we're starting to get our first extended look at to who and what the Jedi are.
Yeah, I mean,
in their literal prime. You know, well, maybe not their prime, but like, right. You know, kind of on the backside of their prime. But they're still they're a force to be reckoned with, no pun intended.
Yeah, well, when Ahsoka loses the lightsaber, the first thing she does is go back to the temple. Mm-hmm. And an underused character from the movies, Jocasta Nu, who runs the library.
Yeah.
Assist her in finding who she's looking for, and then introduces her to a Jedi we've never seen before, a Jedi Master who is an expert on the criminal element on Coruscant named Taras Noob.
And he is great because, like, it's the whole don't judge a book by your
cover. Oh, yeah.
He's an old man. And he has the best lightsaber.
Oh, yeah. Like, when they show his lightsaber near the end of the episode, you're like, it was there the whole time. Nobody's seen it.
No.
But it was fun because I was looking at, you know, who's playing the voices of characters in that. And the guy who played the voice of Taras Noob took over for Mako on Avatar, Greg Baldwin.
Yeah.
So it was Uncle Iroh playing Taras Noob. And it was very, like, very man, cool. Like, it's he kind of sound like him, but it was different, too.
So, I mean, that's just good voice
acting. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He really was good in the episode. And it was a crime story.
Yeah.
It wasn't a war story. Yeah. It was a crime story.
Like, and I think those were ones that were good because it did a good job of like showing like there were other things happening in the galaxy.
Yeah, literally when like a war is happening, there are things in the world going on.
And these self-contained episodes were like a nice breath of fresh air. I'm having trouble getting words out today. But yeah, okay, so then moving on to the next things on our list, it's a three-part arc, and it really is the first time we get to see Mandalorians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody thinks...
Well, not even like the armored Mandalorians.
No, I'm saying just Mandalorians.
Like,
yeah. Like Boba Fett, Jango Fett, we're not Mandalorians.
Right.
They stole... It's stolen armor. And it's obvious because neither one of them really know how to use it. You know, but... seeing the Mandalorians as they are now. They're peaceful. They're not the warlike race that we read about in the EU.
And, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because at this point, Disney didn't own it. So the EU still was being used. And there were the stories of the Mandalores and the Jedi fighting during the old Republic and the war between them.
Right.
And they mentioned that in here. So, you know, it is still part of the universe because the Clone Wars is part of the Star Wars universe.
Right.
But they had been at peace, but there was rumors that they were building an army. So Obi-Wan sent to investigate, because that's what Jedi are sent to do on a normal basis.
And he sent for a reason.
Because he had been there before.
And
with Master Qui-Gon.
Right. And he has a relationship with their Duchess.
Yeah. Yeah. Satine. Duchess Satine.
And she pops up throughout the remainder of the series, really.
Yeah.
And you learn so much more about Obi-Wan through her.
Yeah.
Like,
it's one of those things where it's a story that would have been cool to go back and see. And, you know, with Liam Neeson coming in and doing Qui-Gon, it would have been a cool arc if they would have been able to do their last few seasons of showing why, you know, Satine and him had the relationship they had.
Yeah. How did that come about?
Right.
And you know, why it's important.
Just a flashback story with young Obi-Wan would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah.
So,
This one was cool because they introduced Satine and they introduced Pre Vizsla, who was voiced by Jon Favreau.
Right.
It shows that, and it's another thing where it's not just the Jedi who are assumptive that the world is the way the world is. Satine thinks that everything's okay. Pre Vizsla's her friend, and it turns out that he's leading Death Watch, who are the Mandalores who want to go back into the war.
Yeah. They want to become a warring race.
Yeah, it literally, like, Obi-Wan walks into a factory and it's you know, a fanboy's dream. There's Boba Fett helmets just lined up.
As far as I can see. Pre Vizsla is great, too, because he's a descendant of that original...
Yeah, like, the original line.
Of you know, Mandalores. And he has one of the three coolest weapons ever.
The lightsaber that was stolen.
The darksaber.
It was stolen, and he literally says it in the episode, it was stolen from the Jedi Temple during the Old Wars.
Right.
And it's like, okay, that's cool, but where did it come from?
And it's not just a black lightsaber. I mean, it's a laser sword, but it makes a completely different sound, and it looks different. It looks like a blade. It was just the way they did it was beautiful.
Right.
You know, and it comes into play again later on, continuously. And you know, I could see, like...
And it's actually his doom.
Yeah, well, yeah. I could see young Jedi, like, seeing a black lightsaber, like, light up and be like,
what is that?
What? How do I... What is going on here? But no, I mean, this is a great one. And it shows, I think, the Jedi at their best. Mm-hmm. Because they don't get involved. They're there to guide. They're there to protect. But at the end of the day, Satine and her people have to solve this
problem. Right, yeah. And that's literally what's happening in this. But there's some fun things with Anakin getting to get a dig in on Obi-Wan about, oh, your girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he literally calls her his girlfriend at one point, and Obi-Wan's like, she's not my girlfriend. It's like, wait a minute. What? But I think that Anakin could see that they had more of a relationship than they wanted
admit or let on.
Yeah, and it's fun because in the third part of the arc, one of the people that she thought was her ally is not, and he takes her hostage and he's holding a gun to her head, and she literally says to Obi-Wan, she goes, I want to tell you that I do love you.
Yeah.
And she's giving him a look like, hey, we're just going with this. But you're like, yeah, she's telling him that.
She's telling him that.
Yeah. And he goes along with it, but you can tell that, you know, and yeah, these are animated characters, but they did the animation so well that you could tell that Obi-Wan in his mind is going, she's really telling me this.
Yeah.
And he's like, he pretty much says it back to her.
Yeah.
That so
I mean, for me, this was the arc where I stopped waiting for Haley to watch and just blew through episodes without her,
right?
Because, like, yeah, I mean, it's okay. So then after this, we have an episode called Bounty Hunters, and what's important about this one is we get introduced to Hondo.
Well, and this one was Hondo had been on already,
had he?
Yeah, he was. I think he was in the movie, actually, because Obi-Wan and Anakin are like, oh,
this
Hondo.
This is when he has Dooku, right? Let me see. Hold on. Oh, nope, no, nope. No, you're right.
Yeah, he's in the first season.
Yeah, that was in the first season with Dooku.
Yeah.
No, this is with that village.
This is a village, but this episode is specifically one of the times where they put a dedication at the beginning.
Right.
In the memory to Akira Kurosawa.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Seven Samurai.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally Seven Samurai with a couple Jedi and bounty hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. I mean, it's a great little episode. And it's just a quick story. And
this is the one where Hondo and his group are trying to get the crops or whatever.
The crops on Felucia. Right. And it literally introduces a couple bounty hunters that you see down the line again.
Again, a couple times, too.
Dave Fanoli plays the voice of one of them.
Yep.
So, you know, it's like the guy who's running the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, for people who don't know, Dave Fanoli, whatever.
However you say it.
Executive producer of this and...
Filoni.
Of this and of Rebels. All right, and then stemming out of that, there seemed to be a whole lot of like just bounty hunter action happening.
Well, this season, and I remember it because it was like a big deal. Right. Advertising was called Rise of the Bounty Hunters.
Okay,
and there was a lot of bounty hunter action in this season. You know, I don't remember if Cad Bane showed up again. I think he did, but it wasn't like one of the episodes where I was like, that's a standout episode.
Right.
But at the end of this season was Boba Fett coming
Young
back.
Young Boba Fett. Yeah. Like just little kid Boba.
Yeah. Well, and it's the thing where in Attack of the Clones, they say that he was, his genetic code was made to age him like a normal person.
Person, yeah.
So he doesn't age fast like a clone does. And he just literally shows up with a group of clone trainees
on a Jedi cruiser.
Yeah, they're flying to a Jedi cruiser. He knows that Mace Windu is going to be there, and he's out for blood.
What do you call himself, Lucky?
Yeah, that was Lucky. His name, right? Yep. Lucky, and he's being guided by Aura Singh, who continuously shows up throughout the entire prequel universe,
right?
And she's a bounty hunter that is a really good bounty hunter. So the first part of that arc is him on the ship, and he literally blows the ship up pretty much to the point where it crashes on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little kid, and he takes down a Jedi cruiser, which the Jedi cruiser are like the Star Destroyers, basically.
Yeah, so the admiral that's on the ship, his name's Killian, tells everybody to get off. He's like literally like the captain goes down with the ship type attitude, and he tells everybody to get off, so they all evacuate, and then the episode called R2 Come Home, Anakin and Mace go back to find Admiral Killian.
Right. Which R2 comes home, or come home, whatever, is one of like the coolest R2 moments that we get. You get to see him pilot a ship.
Yeah.
You get to see him, just kind of be R2-D2.
Yeah.
It's all about the mission. Essentially save the day.
Yeah. I mean, the one graphic that stands out in my head in this one is the trap that's set for them.
Yeah.
With Jango Fett's helmet.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a bomb, but it's like, it's Jango Fett's helmet. And it's literally, Mace picks it up like Boba did in Attack of the Clones. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, cool. Boba Fett knows who killed his dad.
Yeah.
And he's going to be out. Yeah, he's literally going to be out for blood.
Yeah, so. That was a good one. And then obviously the last part of that with them, Mace and Anakin being injured and... Plo Koon and
Ahsoka
coming to track down the bounty hunters for them.
Yeah.
I always enjoyed watching Ahsoka work with other Jedi because there was so much of Anakin in her.
Right.
And at times you would see the other Jedi get annoyed by that.
Right.
And it's like, this is why he thinks you guys are like not in the right here.
Yeah.
But
I think they were all teaching her, too.
And that's the thing. I think she was able to learn from everybody.
Right, yeah.
Because these two have a special bond. Because he was the one who found her. When it came time for when she, when her force sensitivity woke up or turned on.
Blow was the one who brought her
to the... He was the one who brought her to the temple. So.
Yeah, and at the end of this episode, I'm vaguely recalling Boba Fett was arrested.
Yeah.
And this will go down the line in the series. He does show up again
a couple times,
and it's cool because Daniel Logan actually returned and played the voice of Boba continuously through the series.
Yep.
And Jamie King was playing the voice of Ara Singh,
yep.
which she, you know, shows up continuously too. So
yeah, I mean, they had great voice actors.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, Phil LaMarr, like, you know, yeah, played Kit Fisto and Bail Organa.
Phil LaMarr is just amazing, just voice in general.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And can play different voice. I mean, literally, like, Kit Fisto sounds Jamaican
yeah.
and relaxed and just chill and all that.
Chill, yeah.
And then Bail Organa is like stiff and you yeah. know, and it's, you know, it's just the different voice range he can do.
Kit Fisto is like holocron and chill.
Yeah, well, literally when he shows up, he's just like, you know, flying a ship and talking to his droid like, you know, let's go down to the planet and yeah. see what's going let's on.
See what's
and
happening.
It's like, you know, he's not even like wanting, you know, wanting to really push.
Yeah. All right, so we're on to season three now. And season three is where I feel like the series put its foot on the gas and put the pedal literally through the floor.
Usually by the third season of a series,
yeah.
you know what you are.
But it not only did they know what they were, but they just went running with it at full speed, you know, at light speed, so to speak. Pun intended there. So we get to see the inside of the clone training facilities. We get to see how they're training their clones. We get introduced to, what was the name of the
Domino,
the Domino Squad?
Yeah,
with Fives and
Echo. I don't remember all the clones. Yeah, was, I'm sorry.
Fives is the only one who, at the end of the series, is still around.
Right. Yeah.
So him and Tup make it to season six.
Yeah.
And then they have their whole arc with the Order 66 stuff. But watching them learn how to, like, be troopers and seeing the hierarchy.
Yeah.
Of how the clones look at themselves,
right,
was really cool. Like 99 was, he was a deformed clone, but he was every bit the soldier as the rest of them, even though he was just a janitor.
And he defended himself and in that.
Not only them, but he saved.
Yeah.
I mean, he saves Domino Squad at one point. Like this it was a 2-episode arc. It was a great way to, I think it kicked off the season,
actually. Yeah, it was literally the Separatists found out where Kamino was.
Right.
And attack.
Which, how did they not know where Kamino was?
Because, but Dooku wasn't supposed to say he knew,
yeah.
you know, Sifo Dyas knew where it was, right, not right. Dooku.
So
it was one of those things where, at that point, I guess, Palpatine, Sidious, decided, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to do this and weaken the army a little bit.
Right.
And there's some cool, like, battle droids that show up, because there's an Aqua battle droid
yep.
that shows up.
Oh, yeah, this is the start where, like, they should have been putting out a better line of toys.
Yeah.
Based on the not only the Jedis and the vehicles, but the droids that they were introducing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I own a lot of figures from this series, right. and I have an Aqua droid, and it's like, there's some things that Aqua droid does in this episode that your action figure doesn't do, yeah. and you're like, well, you know, it's cool. It looks cool.
I want to play with it in the bathtub.
Daggone it. Why can't I bend the arms this way?
Yeah, and so then we get to the point where Dooku and Asajj Ventress
yeah.
have their parting of ways.
Yeah.
Which...
You knew it was coming.
You knew, because there can only be two.
Yeah.
And he is ordered by Sidious Palpatine to dispose of her,
because right.
she's becoming too powerful. Which, you know, it's the way of the Sith. There can only be two.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
A master and an apprentice.
Yeah. Yes. So,
the rule of two.
Dooku was just so short-sighted, like, to be like, hey, why don't I become the master? And, like, she would be a badass apprentice.
Yeah.
Because she was totally loyal to him.
Well, right. And it's the whole thing that it's always been, you know, it's always been there.
Right.
Even from, like, the beginning with Vader and the Emperor.
Right.
In the comic books, mm-hmm. the original Marvel comic books, this came up because Vader had a apprentice named Lumia.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, and they've used it down the line, where Vader and Palpatine were training other people to be apprentices.
Yeah.
And were going up against each other. They were
constantly
fighting each
yeah.
other as much as they were, like, trying to control the universe.
Yep. Yeah, so we get to see the planet where Ventress is from. With the Night Sisters.
Oh, yeah. That's the next
arc. And so, I mean, but that's kind of all.
I mean, literally that whole part of that season yeah. is like one big story, but mm-hmm. there's arcs within that big story.
It's plans within plans.
Yeah.
So, so we get to see the Night Sisters, which is basically a race of witches.
Yeah.
Who are fantastic. Yeah. They were so fun.
Well, they were introduced in one of the novels.
Okay.
And as far back as the, I think it was the second Ewok movie, the TV movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a Night Sister in that.
You're right, there was.
So, I mean, they were really introduced in one of the books. Sorry, I can't recall, but it's when Dathomir is actually introduced and the Night Sisters of Dathomir are introduced. Mm-hmm. And then they continue that story into this episode.
So, yeah, there's that. We get to see kind of where Darth Maul came from.
Yeah.
We find out he has two brothers that are still alive.
Yeah.
You know, and then Ventress is trying to find a replacement for her as Dooku's apprentice that will be loyal to her.
Right.
So again, plans within plans. What we get out of this in Savage Opress, voiced by Clancy Brown, was such an amazing character because it was all power and rage, and the way he took to the dark side, and you know, the way he took to the dark side of the Force specifically, was so fun to watch. And then, you know, he had the dual bladed red saber, but I mean, it just looked sturdier and heavier and just much more.
He built a different kind of looking than one because it had blades on it and everything.
Yeah, it was really cool. I can't like geek out enough over these
this season especially.
Yeah, well, this season, but just overall, like the way he would use the horns on his head to fight.
Yeah, he literally was a warrior more than Darth Maul was. I mean, Darth Maul obviously had been taken at a younger age, but this guy had lived.
Darth Maul was a practitioner of the Force,
right?
And you know, the dark side, the people who practice the dark side are just as spiritual as the Jedi when it comes to it. You know, and he was a true believer of the Force.
Yeah. So, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay. So then from there, you know, just since we're talking Force, we get the Mortis, the Planet of Mortis arc.
Yeah. Where Anakin and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka
get trapped on.
Well, they literally find like a Bermuda Triangle in the middle of space.
They basically and fly get trapped through within it. The Force.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially. There's a planet where there's kind of like an Odin-esque Allfather.
Yeah. And then a dark side and a light side.
Yeah. And then a son who's the dark side and a daughter who's the light side. Yep. Anakin kind of throws everything out of whack on this planet because of how powerful he is.
Right.
We get to see Anakin learn about becoming Darth Vader.
Yeah, vaguely. Yeah.
And we get to see that knowledge stripped away from him as well.
Right.
The
coolest things in this episode to me, besides the son and the daughter, because I really liked that whole, you know, struggle.
They each turn into a different kind of beast
to
fly away.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I like when they're in the cave, which we always seem to be in a cave when something major happens.
Yeah.
Ahsoka meets her older self.
Right.
And talks to her. Yeah. Literally, they have a discussion. And then Qui-Gon Jinn shows up as a ghost, pretty much, and talks to Obi-Wan. And it's Liam Neeson, which was cool that they actually got Liam Neeson to come back and play the voice of Qui-Gon. But it was just one of those episodes or arcs where you're like, this could have been a movie, you know, that they could have released. And it would have been, you know, if you want to learn
like
about...
Like, now that they're doing the anthology movies, this would be a great anthology movie.
Yeah.
So...
Sam Witwer plays the Dark Sun.
Yeah.
And Sam Witwer is a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
You know, obviously viewers mine too. So. You know, I've met him a couple times. Now, good guy. He's been in the Star Wars universe for a while. He was the Force Unleashed. Yeah. And so he shows up in this and he just blows it out of the water.
Yeah.
Adrian Wilkinson plays the daughter.
Okay.
She was Xena's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she's as good as he is. They literally play their characters as you would expect a dark side and a light side to be. And he goes over the top and you're like, just keep going. Just keep going.
let's get more of this.
Yeah.
It was a great arc. It was three very intense episodes.
Yeah.
Ahsoka talking to herself, she warns, older Ahsoka warns younger Ahsoka.
Yeah.
He's going to
watch out for Anakin, pretty much. You
know, I think we're going to see the payoff to that conversation happen
in Rebels. Okay.
Because the Siege of Lothal, where she
Yeah.
And like, it's still a question. Does she know or not? And we'll talk about this more next
week. Right.
When
yeah.
We're talking about Rebels, but like super, super interesting. Okay. Following up on this, we get the Citadel arc.
Yeah.
Where we get introduced to, is this where we get introduced to Grand Moff Tarkin?
Yeah, this is Tarkin.
So
he's not Grand Moff. Yeah, he's just a military leader,
General Tarkin, yeah. Commander Tarkin. Whatever.
But this is literally like where Tarkin shows up for the first time during Clone Wars,
and you see he and Anakin just hit it off right from the get go because he doesn't like other Jedi,
right?
And like he's talking to Anakin, and he's like, "Well, I don't really care for most other Jedi." And Anakin turns around, looks at him, and goes, "Most of the time, neither do I."
Yeah,
you know, it's like, oh,
yeah, what? Yeah. It's literally and. So. The cool thing in this episode is they have to break into a prison. So the way they break into the prison is they all carbon freeze.
And it was Anakin's plan.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, you know, literally this just, you know, ties the universe together because it's like Anakin comes up with the idea, why don't we just carbon freeze everybody? Yeah. And it's like, oh, wait, he knows this works. Or he in the future when he does it to Solo, he knows it works.
He just wants to test that facility to make sure it works right. There weren't a lot of like funny beats throughout the show.
This was a very serious episode too.
But the beat where they're coming out of carbon freezing and you know they're kind of stretching out and he's like, "Oh, hey Snips," and she's like, "Hey Master," and she wasn't supposed to be there. She totally stowed away.
Yeah,
and it was like it was just that funny just moment of realization.
Like, where wait a minute, why are you? What are you doing?
He's like,
here?
"I want to kill you right now, but I can't because we have a mission."
Right,
and she totally lies to him. Because she was like, "Oh no, I was briefed on the mission and everything."
Yeah,
she wasn't. So,
but it's fun just to and I wish that would have been like something that Hasbro would have done where they would have done a group like they did these box sets of different elements of the stories,
right?
And if they would have done a group of, you know, Rex and Cody and Obi-Wan and Anakin carbon froze.
Oh, that would have been cool.
That would have been kind of a cool set to have. And obviously, you know, we make up stuff that would be kind of a cool set.
Yep,
you know?
Yep. So, all right. So, I mean, it was a cool episode. A lot of...
cool arc.
A cool arc. Sorry.
Yeah.
A lot of death. A lot of, you know...
At the end, a Jedi dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
A Jedi that literally, like, I think people had been asking, where is this guy forever? And he finally shows up. It's Evan Peele.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally shows up, and he dies.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, that's what happened to him.
Yep, that's why he's not in Revenge.
There's your answer, people.
So, and then I think this was the finale.
Yeah,
the
two-part Padawan. Finale.
So,
aired all one night, you know, which was unusual.
So, it was Padawan Lost and then Wookiee Hunt.
Yeah.
Chewbacca is introduced
to
the
We
the
knew
Clone
Chewbacca
Wars
had
universe.
Been there, right. You know, and that, but it literally shows Chewbacca for the first time.
This was just a really fun couple of episodes. Ahsoka's kidnapped. She's dumped on a planet by...
the Trandoshans.
Yep.
Which this gives more of an idea of... And, you know, being a hardcore fan, you know, I know a lot of the history. But, like, for people who didn't know, this shows why Wookiees and Trandoshans hate each other so much. Because the Trandoshans use Wookiees as hunting things. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, when we go into the ship of the leader of the hunting group, he has
Wookiee
furs
all
over the place that are Wookiee, you know, Wookiee hides. And it's like, it's kind of disturbing at the same time as, you know, okay, that's cool looking, you know?
Yeah. This is where what Ahsoka learned on Mortis, I feel, really started to come into play.
Right.
She became a leader of the younglings who never got to become Padawans.
Right.
She started to become stronger in the Force. And at the same time, she became a great leader. You know, and then discovering Chewbacca was just kind of the icing on the cake.
I think it was a payoff for fans just for the fact that, you know, we hadn't seen a lot of characters that we knew existed. Besides Tarkin showing up.
Right.
This season was literally like the season where they started bringing it into tying to the original trilogy. So you got Tarkin and you got Chewie. Yeah. And I mean, R2 and C-3PO are always around.
Right.
But, you know, those you can't get rid of those guys.
No. But, yeah. And the other thing is kind of with the end of this is, you know, at one point, Savage Opress is given the mission to go find Maul.
Yeah.
And this season ends without really paying that off.
Yeah, you really
because
don't.
Because the, you know, now we're going into the fourth season.
Well, and it's the question of,
was,
did he survive? Did he not survive? Right, nobody knows.
There's rumors.
You know, rumors of him showing up on planets and all that stuff. So, you know, the whole season four goes through, you know, there's a lot of different stuff going on, bounty hunters showing up, all that. And then we get to the end of that season.
Yeah, so, you know. Well, with four, we kind of, like, we got to start with Krell. Krell.
Yeah.
He's one of those, the creature that Obi-Wan talks to when he finds the Kamino dart.
Yeah.
I forget the race now. I knew it, and I didn't write it down. But he's a Jedi. He's got, like, the four big arms. He uses four dual-bladed lightsabers.
Yeah, yeah. The whole, you know, Umbara.
Yeah.
Where Anakin's recalled back to the Jedi Council.
So the 501st is put temporarily under another Jedi's command. And this is a Jedi who literally views the clones as completely expendable.
Yeah. They're just tools to his disposal, pretty much.
To the point where they start questioning for the first time, do we follow these orders or not?
With the 501st, Rex is the commanding officer. Rex is a good soldier. Rex literally is like one of the best soldiers you could ever have. Follows orders. Doesn't really question orders.
Gets stuff done.
Gets it done. If he has to do it himself, he'll take a shot for anybody.
Right.
And by the end of this, he even is questioning, are the Jedi worth fighting for?
Right.
And it's just because of the fact that Krell takes them to the edge and then takes them over the edge. And some of these clones decide, we're not going to do this. Mm-hmm. Well, in the end, they figure out that he's not working for them. He's working for himself, pretty much.
Yeah, he wants to get noticed by Dooku.
Yeah, yeah.
He wants Dooku to point him out and say, hey.
Yeah, he's literally going toward the dark side.
Let's I need a new apprentice.
Yeah.
Pon Krell, you're it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was such an interesting arc, especially knowing what happens with Order 66.
Right.
And you got to wonder, like, how many of them, like, when they got that, were more relieved than anything else.
I think that, you know, that whole thing with Order 66 was, you know, programming anyway. So it's like, you know, do they remember what they did?
But they have personalities and you know, I mean, they also retired the clones after.
Right, yeah. Order 66. That whole story has never been acknowledged.
They touched on it a little bit in Rebels.
Right.
So,
I think we'll get an answer down the line.
Yeah, we'll get it much more. So, I mean, that was a great way to kind of kick off the season.
Well, and it was one of those things where, you know, even the Jedi were stunned because it's like the whole thing of Jedi being as they were, just arrogant.
Yeah.
And it's like one of our own is turning against us because he wants to join Dooku. It's like, you know, Dooku himself was a Jedi and decided to do that.
You know, Dooku could never do that. It's not in his character.
Right.
You're a moron.
Right. Yeah. It's just, it's the arrogance of the Jedi.
Yeah. Another highlight of this season is Obi-Wan fakes his own death and goes undercover, gets like facial
surgically altered. Yeah.
Where we see where young Boba ended up in prison there.
Yep.
He teams up with Cad Bane and what's the other bounty hunter? Marlo. Marlo Eval.
Yeah.
Where he's got to free them from prison because there's a plot against Palpatine.
Right.
And this was a cool one.
Yeah, there was stories where it was like you knew that Palpatine was manipulating things.
Right.
But there was some of the stories where Palpatine had no idea what was going on.
And this
was you're like, is he going to break out his lightsaber and, you know, take somebody out?
Right.
And he never did because he knew to keep himself hidden in the shadows. But it was, they did episodes where you were like, yeah, Palpatine has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, nothing.
At this point.
So, the interesting thing here is I feel like this is where Anakin's faith in Obi-Wan is shaken, or trust in Obi-Wan is shaken for the first time, because they never told him. And, and not just Anakin, but the rest of the Jedi.
Right.
Because, you know, they wanted to get the real reaction. Great. You get the reaction, now you tell him.
Yeah, literally, like, Anakin at one point almost kills Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
So you know.
it was just one of those things. It was great. You know, we go back to Dothmere, and we have the massacre of the Night Sisters.
Yeah.
From Dooku, in the droid army, where they send Grievous down, which was really, really cool. Which then directly leads to Savage Opress hunting down Darth Maul.
Right. And Asajj Ventress,
I'm sorry, Ventress
becoming a bounty hunter.
Yep.
I mean, at this point, like, she has nowhere to go.
She loses her way entirely.
She's got a couple lightsabers and that, but she has nowhere to go, and she becomes a bounty hunter and joins up with Boba Fett.
Yeah, she's on Boba's crew, which was interesting, and what she did to him was, like, I don't want to spoil it because the payoff is too great. But yeah, so in the Brothers and Revenge,
which was the finale,
we find Darth Maul living basically in a dump.
It explains that he fell down the pit in Naboo. It was a garbage pit, and literally the garbage gets taken to another planet that's a garbage planet.
Yeah.
Junkion. You know, I said they should have just called it Junkion from Transformers.
Junkion.
You know? Nice. But yeah, he's living in a cave down there. He's built legs for himself, a spider.
It was a spider body. Yeah. I mean, it's the whole, like,
literally that design kept, like, showing up in art.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a story in Star Wars Visionaries where they show something similar to that. And like the sketch designs and that. And it's an awesome look because at certain points you can see the force power where pieces are floating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not all attached to him.
It's not attached.
It's floating around him.
It's
and
how
it's
powerful he
Sam
is.
Sam Witwer coming back, playing a different character. Sounds different.
Oh, completely. The way he says Kenobi is just like chilling.
Yeah.
You know? He's lost his mind.
Literally.
His horns have grown.
He looks awesome.
He looks feral. Savage finds him, brings him back to Mother Towson. You know, she writes him with her magic. He gets these cool, like, mechanical legs.
Yeah.
And they have the initial showdown
with Obi-Wan. Yeah.
Which was just an awesome way to end the series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or not series, season. Sorry.
The end of the season. Yeah. End that season. And now, you know, the threat of Darth Maul is out there.
Right.
And he's not Sith at this point.
No, he's
pissed at this point.
He's just angry.
It's like, you know, he's not taking orders from anybody.
No. So season 5, we kick off with Maul and Opress, kind of just going through and trying to basically create a crime syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Maul's ideas, like, he's still like, and we don't know this yet, but the reason he's doing this is because he wants to get Sidious's attention.
Right.
Which we learn
further down
on
the line,
But yeah, like, you know, he attacks Hondo and his
group.
Well,
he tries to recruit them, and then, like, they don't want Hondo's a pretty slick guy, and he pretty much is like, I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No thank you, sir.
Which, you know, a nod to Jim Cummings, who plays the voice of Hondo, kind of also plays a lot of Disney characters.
He's Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, he's Winnie the Pooh, and he's who else is it? Does he play Tigger also?
I think he does play Tigger.
Yeah, I think he plays Tigger, and he plays, like, one of the Fab Five also, I believe.
Okay.
And but it's...
I just wanted to say, oh, bother, as Hondo.
Yeah. That would be cool, yeah. So, yeah, he shows up at conventions, so...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, we'll have to get him.
We were at Lexington, and he was down there.
Yeah, he wasn't at his table, but yeah, we'll have to get him one of these days to just say it like that.
Oh, bother. So, anyway, and then we get to see how the Kyber crystals are found.
Yes.
In this season. We get to see the rite of passage for the younglings making their lightsabers.
Was this the one where the Wookiee has his
wood.
Is wood.
It's so awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I want that one. Like, I want to go to Disney. Like, because, you know, at Disney parks, you can build.
You
like,
can
I want to build that
if
one.
If they had so, it, yeah, it would be cool to that would be the one do I that have. One.
There's a company in, like, Portland that does, like, custom, like, lightsaber hilts.
Oh, well, there
I
you
was
go.
Thinking of, like, but they're like $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. I can think of a million other things I'd spend $1,000 on than a lightsaber
there's
hilt. So.
There's a lot of Lego sets out there.
Yeah. But yeah, so we get to see that. We get to see more of Ahsoka's just ingenuity.
Yeah.
We have David Tennant as the voice of the robot who is on this basically generational ship for, young Jedi for 1,000 years. This robot has trained Jedis to
He plays that character
create.
Well, doesn't he?
Does. He really does.
It's the same character, just different.
It was a great, and it was great to hear his voice,
right?
You know, because it was a surprise. Like I,
well, it's like I told you, he's on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles right now, playing Huge Toy. Huge and Toy. At first, I was like, because they've digital the voice, and I'm like, that sounds like David Tennant.
Well, they digitized the voice,
right? Yeah, and that's what I'm literally like. That sounds like David Tennant as a robot.
In this season, you also get to see R2-D2 lead a team of droids on essentially a droid suicide mission led by Plankton from SpongeBob.
and it's the cool thing about this is one of the droids, and I can't remember, R2-KT. That's it. R2-KT was created because of a Star Wars fan who had cancer.
Right.
And they're bringing her into The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And, but I don't think they're calling her R2-KT, but it's the same design.
It's the same one. It's the pink.
Yeah.
Like,
so it's cool. And but it was fun because I'm a fan of the Astromechs.
Yeah, me too.
You know, you're definitely a fan of the R2.
I mean, I'll argue all day long that the true hero of Star Wars is R2-D2 because nothing would have ever happened without him.
Well, sure.
Like, I mean, like, you can look at the, like, Star Wars, right? If it's not for him, like, fixing Luke's ship as Luke can't fly the X-Wing without getting like shot all the time, he's never in the position to
well, if you look at the Phantom Menace.
Battlestar plans. Well, I was going to say, then you hop all the way back to the Phantom Menace, you know, the four other astromechs got blown off the side of that ship as they were running through that blockade, but R2 turns the hyperspace back on. Yep. He turns the hyperspace back on.
And he knows everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and that was an episode which I don't think we've even talked about.
I don't
about
think it. I put it down.
So R2 gets captured, and
with Goldie.
Like, it's just your droid. You know, who cares? And Anakin's like, I've never wiped his memory.
Yeah, like he knows everything.
So,
and literally at the end of Revenge of the Sith, you know, Bail says, "Wipe C-3PO's memory, but leave the astromech alone."
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, why? So, you know,
but.
He's never had his memory wiped, and he never bothered to tell Luke that, hey, that dude...
Well, right. Like, you know, hey, I was your dad's astromech.
Yeah.
You know, like, and how pissed would Anakin be to learn that he shot R2?
Yeah.
Like, I think he would be literally upset by that, even as Vader. Like, you know, because, you know, R2 was his best friend.
Right.
Like,
He literally does say it, like, continuously through the show. Like, but he calls him Buddy.
Buddy.
He doesn't even call him R2 most of the time. He calls him, hey, buddy, what's going on?
You know, and, you know? He defends him. Like, you know, like in the Revenge of the Sith. Like, hey, no more loose wire jokes.
Right.
Like, you know, but, it's... That like the things that they did with the droids here, the droids that were helping the Republic.
Well, it was just fun, like you know that fun. You could do like a story with the astromechs, and literally that was an arc.
Yeah,
I mean they were taking characters where you're like
four episodes.
You're like, what? They're using that character for an arc? It's like okay. I mean there was you know nothing against him, but there were Jar Jar Binks arcs.
Yeah,
and
like
it's like
two.
And it's like, okay, you're using that character, but, you know.
There's one with Jar Jar and Mace.
Yeah.
Which I watched it the first time through. I've never watched it since.
Okay.
Those are my two least favorite characters.
I don't think I've watched
Star
That was
Wars.
In season six, wasn't it? The Netflix
season.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
yeah.
I just skip right over that. Okay. So after that, we come back to Darth Maul and Savage Opress. They've met up with Mandalorians
Death Watch.
At this point.
Yeah, yeah, literally the Death Watch. Because they've heard about him,
mm-hmm.
and then they're looking for any end they can to get, you know, take over stuff. So what they are trying to get Black Sun and the Hutts to work with them.
Right.
Just because Darth Maul's trying to get...
A crime syndicate.
Yeah.
And Black Sun is something that's been covered.
Yeah, Black Sun was introduced in Shadows of the Empire.
For years, yeah.
That was Prince Zizor.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so it's like... You know, it's there, and it's been there, but, like, I think that was the first time where they were like, yeah, we'll use a name
for the crime syndicate. I think I still have that game for the N64.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
If not, next time we go to Trader's World, I'm going to have to
reacquire
that. So, this one is great. There's a ton of action. You find out just how diabolical Maul is.
Yeah.
You know, he's taken Savage on as his apprentice at this point. Calling themselves Sith now.
Yeah.
Palpatine finds out about it, and the payoff at the end of this arc.
Well, is... and you also gotta talk about what happens.
Oh, well, yeah. So,
Pre Vizsla has a second in command.
Mm-hmm.
Who's played by Katie Sackhoff. Yeah, you totally forgot about Katie Sackhoff. What, Bo-Katan?
Yeah, Bo-Katan.
Bo-Katan.
Everybody thinks Satine is a relative of hers in Rebels. Like, that's a rumor.
That she... and it's the fact that they reveal in this that Satine and her are sisters.
Right.
And Satine dies.
Mm-hmm.
Pre Vizsla really dies.
Oh,
like, literally, you hear the thump of the head and the rolling.
Yep.
Because Darth Maul
It's the only time they actually show, like, even a little bit of the head after someone gets beheaded.
Yeah, Darth Maul takes his black saber and literally cuts his head off. And you're like, okay, at this point, it's like, what can they do to top off this? Sidious shows up.
Not only does he shows up alone in that Emperor's shuttle.
Yeah.
He walks down, and then Maul is on the throne, and Savage is standing next to him. And there's a couple Death Watch Mandalorians around him. And the two Mandalorians flanking them are thrown against the wall.
Yep.
And they're both like, what is going on here?
And you literally and hear then the bones cracking as he's coming in.
And then the door, you hear the tss, and the door opens up. And it's just the silhouette of Palpatine.
It literally is that image from Phantom Menace when the door's open and Maul's standing there. But it's, and Maul's kind of. They give him that look that he's like gratified that he's finally showed up.
Yeah.
You're going to take me back now. Yep. You know,
look what I've done for you, Master. And he says that several times. Yeah. Like, Master, this has been for you. I'm ready to come back.
Yeah. And Sidious is not having any.
And
because he failed him.
Well, yeah.
I mean literally he failed him.
He had the high ground and he got chopped in half. But watching Sidious battle the two of them.
Yeah.
Like, he deals with Savage Opress, who
Far better lightsaber battle for Sidious than in Revenge of the Sith, too. Because there wasn't the growling and, all that. And it was, he was on equal terms with these guys. Well, he had taught Darth Maul.
And, I mean, there's two very powerful, practitioners of the dark side of the Force. I mean, he did away with Opress much faster than I expected. Yeah. But it shows how powerful he is.
And it's one of those ones where you're like on the edge of your seat, like, oh my God, he just killed Savage.
And then, oh my God, he's
going to kill Darth Maul.
But he doesn't.
No.
He drags him off. So now whenever I watch Star Wars Empire and Return, I'm like, I wonder what Darth Maul's doing right now. Like, is he still alive?
Well, and I hope that they answer that on Rebels.
Yeah.
Obviously with all these... Inquisitors running around. I think somebody might be teaching them.
Training the Inquisitors, perhaps.
Because he literally grabs him by the throat and says, I have plans for you.
And then it gets, obviously canceled.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we got sad a little bit, didn't we?
I cried just a little bit.
Well, even though it was canceled, the last arc was like one of those arcs where you're like, man, my God, what's happening? And we didn't know it was canceled at that point.
No, and they didn't know it was
canceled. So
the last arc is really basically the trials and tribulations of Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah.
Or maybe let's call it the trials and the retribution, or not retribution, what am I looking for? Anyway, just the trials of Ahsoka Tano. We'll go with that.
or this could be the rise of Darth Vader.
Yeah.
We've had this discussion.
We have a couple times.
What happens is that a bomb goes off at the Jedi Temple, and everybody starts to suspect that it's Ahsoka Tano. Because it's made to look.
Well, but she's off planet initially. So, yeah. So let's just set it up a little bit. There's a bomb that goes off. Ahsoka and Anakin are off planet at the time. Which is a great scene where she rescues him after the buzz droids are eating out the bottom of his ship. Take out power core, and she jumps from her Jedi cruiser to his, and then he wakes up on the ground. He's like, hey, wasn't I just flying?
Yeah.
So you get to see kind of what she's become.
Yes, Anakin, you crashed another ship.
Yeah, and that's what she says, basically.
Yeah.
So they're off planet. They get called back to Coruscant because there's been this bombing, and they're the only two Jedi who weren't on planet there. At the time. So... it's like, okay, you guys are going to investigate this. Well, you know, Ahsoka being Ahsoka, she gets leads and she just jumps.
Yeah.
Know, she follows.
Literally, this harkens back to her losing her lightsaber because she was taught how to investigate.
Yeah. But, and she does. And she does so without Anakin and without the droid that's helping them investigate.
Right.
So
she looks suspicious also.
She does. She looks suspicious for that. They capture a suspect.
Right.
Who is the wife of the person who set the bomb.
Right.
So we think, as far as setting the bomb. It turns out he was the bomb. His wife, she's questioning her, and someone force chokes her to death.
While she's in the cell.
While and it's just the two of them in the room.
Right.
So like, okay, this is strike two. So Ahsoka runs.
Yeah.
You know, with the help of Anakin.
Yeah.
But she runs. She teams up with Ventress for a little bit. Again,
trying
that's
to find
strike,
out
that's who's, strike
who
three.
Did this
You're
for
done.
Real. Yeah.
Ventress is there because her lightsabers have gone missing.
Yeah. And she's looking for whoever took her stuff.
So it ends up, which I thought was such a great twist, because you go back. Okay. Barriss.
Yeah.
Who was another Padawan.
Yeah.
Who was Luminara's.
Luminara's Padawan.
Padawan.
Who, and her and Ahsoka were friends.
Ahsoka saved her life.
Yeah.
On a mission where she was ready to give up, and Ahsoka was like, "Now we'll figure this out.
Right. You know,
there's always a way. If Anakin's taught me anything, there's always a way." So it turns out, Ahsoka's expelled from the Jedi Order.
Yeah.
She's getting ready to go on trial. The Jedi have just written her off, except for Anakin.
And Anakin goes to find out who really did.
Anakin tracks down Ventress. I thought he was going to kill her.
Yeah.
I really, really thought he was going to kill her. I'm happy he didn't, because that means
she's the one who gave him a scar.
Yeah. She might show up on Rebels at some
point. True.
So he then tracks down Barriss.
Right.
And, you know, upon questioning her, she whips out the two lightsabers. And he's like, "You should have destroyed these. You would have been Scott clear." And she's
right.
And like, I think the line is, "Well, no, red's really my color."
Right.
Like, so it's another tale of a Jedi gone bad.
Right.
And I think for him, based on the way they treated her and then watching another Jedi like turn, that was the final straw.
Right.
I mean, in all reality.
Yeah. For him, it was the bringing order to the galaxy mm-hmm. thing. Had started, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
It was starting to develop at this point.
Right.
And then, you know, they expel Ahsoka. And then they say, "Well, no, you can come back."
Mm-hmm.
"Because it wasn't you. You can come back." And she literally turns around and pretty much flips them off and says, "No, I'm going to leave."
She's like, "Peace out, bitches."
Yeah, yeah. And I think that if they would have had more of a season, you know, Netflix did season 6. But if they would have had more
legit
to tell
season,
this would have been a good way to lead Anakin down the path that he literally, you know, goes into Revenge of the Sith and, you know, questioning the order, questioning the Jedi order, questioning what their tactics are, you know, and being and Palpatine seeing it and being like, "I can manipulate him at this point."
So this particular arc is what really makes me mad about the prequels.
Because
it's not that Hayden Christensen's a bad actor.
No, I mean, you know he was good enough in the character role, but like I said, he was
poorly
underdeveloped.
It was poorly written.
Yeah.
You know, like, you see Anakin here.
Yeah.
Care deeply. Love deeply. Like, he loves Padme. Yes, we understand that. That they made that abundantly clear over three movies.
Right.
He loves Ahsoka. Not romantically.
A sister.
He loves her. He it's his sister. He's
it
trained
was,
her.
Yeah, it's more of a brother-sister. Yeah. You know, having a sister myself, I can say their relationship was a brother-sister relationship because they gave each other shit all the time. And it's like, yeah, that's what me and my sister have done over the ages. And it's literally what happens when your sister says, "I don't want to be part of this anymore.
Right.
I'm leaving."
And she
leaves.
Left the family. It was like, you know, it's like, she's like, "I'm not just leaving them. I'm leaving you."
Yeah.
And that broke his heart.
Yep.
I mean, it really did. Like, you know, like, I'm surprised he wasn't crying there saying, "It's so good. You're breaking my heart."
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they would have ever done that.
No, because they were much better writers on Clone Wars.
Well, yeah. And but, I don't know. Was Katie Lucas, did she write this?
I don't know.
Yeah, Katie Lucas, George Lucas's daughter, wrote a lot of these episodes toward the end of the season. I think she might have been a co-writer on that.
But I mean, it was a great, great way to end a season.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately, like, even if they never did the season 6 on Netflix, it would have been a great way to end the series.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Because
it's very definitive. You know, she walks off. She literally walks off into the sunset.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, where is she going to go?
So, and then we get the announcement that Disney buys Lucasfilm.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the announcement that it's canceled.
Right.
We're done.
And well, it's canceled because they want to have their own Star Wars series Disney XD.
Well, right. And it was one of those things where I don't think they even had an idea of what they were going to do at that point.
They just wanted their own Star Wars series.
And, you know, left us all hanging.
Yeah.
And then we started seeing stuff coming out where they were showing previews mm-hmm. of a storyline that would have happened. Like, you know, we were halfway through this episode because we were in pre-production for the next season.
Right.
And then Netflix said, we'll do the last season.
Which was 10 episodes?
I think so, yeah. It was like everything that had been produced, because some of it was animatics.
Right.
And, you know, but they had produced enough to do a half season.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, had his good points and his bad points.
The first opening arc with the troopers and the chips going, the inhibitor chips going.
Literally, it's they're in the middle, like, we come into the middle of a battle, and Anakin's there, Obi-Wan's there, two Jedi we had never seen are there, mm-hmm. and they're fighting their way through a hallway, and one of the clones just starts acting weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he gets wonky.
Yeah, he gets wonky. And then he literally shoots the Jedi Master who was his commander. And was it Tup?
Tup is the one that
Tup. He just it. Like and he and, shoots and, so and then he doesn't fives, know what he did
and he's like, oh my god, like what
I don't
happened?
Know what I did. Yeah, yeah, it's like, I don't know what happened, why did I. And then the another investigation, obviously. Mm-hmm. This one with the clones where they start looking into what happened to him, and it's Fives and Rex. And was Cody in this episode also?
I don't think Cody was in this episode.
I think it was
just the 501st.
Yeah, it was 501st. At this point, Fives was part of the 501st.
Yeah, he was one of the ARC troopers of the 501st. So he and Tup were both ARC troopers.
Right.
Yeah, no, it was interesting because they're taken back to Kamino. They're examined. Obviously, the Kaminoans?
Kaminoans.
Yeah, whatever.
Kaminoans,
Kaminians.
They know what's going on.
They know what's going on because obviously
they were told, put this chip in there.
And so they say he's fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing physically wrong with him. Well, Fives can't take that. And he actually basically kidnaps the medical droid. And he's like, no, scan him right.
Yeah.
Like, and they find a...
It's a biological chip.
Yeah.
In his head, but I guess that he had another, like a cancerous mass
mm-hmm.
that activated the chip.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fives has him look at him, has a droid look at him, and he has the same exact thing.
Right.
And he's like, what is this? What's going on? And they remove, like, he cuts it out.
He cuts his out. Rex cuts his out.
Eventually, like, Rex, eventually, yeah. And, yeah. We know in Rebels that, and, yeah, a few of them were like, because. You get to this point where Fives is on the run. Yeah. I mean, it's very similar to the Ahsoka story.
Oh, yeah.
And that, and it was just, you know, that's where you're like, yeah, this is one where they were just trying to do what they could.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like very similar to it. Fives goes on the run.
Like, it was great because we got to find out about, like, because we followed these. I mean, so like this group of clone troopers.
Yeah.
Was the band of brothers for... The Clone Wars.
Yeah, you're right. It was. It was the band of brothers.
So we got to see them literally from inception through, you know, ultimately all of them being...
Right.
Like, of Domino Squad.
Right.
Being, you know, killed.
Because Fives doesn't make it to the end.
So, he was the last Domino standing.
Right. And that's where Rex at the end realizes mm-hmm. that something was wrong. And then we see that in Rebels that, you know, it has an effect down the line.
Right. So, you know, the other big arc that stood out in this season was Well, one, we find out about Sifo-Dyas.
Yeah.
So that was just, was that one or was that two? That was just one episode.
Yeah. But it ties into Yoda's.
But yeah. So Yoda's it kind of kicks off Yoda's journey. And then we find Yoda starting to hear Qui-Gon's voice.
Yes.
And everyone thinks he's becoming
that he's getting a little senile.
They think he's going dark because he's hearing things.
Right.
And, you know, Yoda, again, using my boy R2-D2, using Anakin.
Yeah.
You know, goes on, Yoda and R2 hard traveling heroes.
Yeah.
Like fly all over the galaxy and Yoda's tracking down the difference between the living and the cosmic force.
And eventually there's like a sequence that, and I tell you that it's a cool sequence because Yoda has a vision where Dooku's there, Qui-Gon's there, everybody's there and everybody's happy. Mm-hmm. And then it all falls apart.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was just cool to see Dooku not in that Sith outfit, but just a Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And to see Qui-Gon, Liam Neeson again, coming back and playing, the voice.
So, but I mean, they're questioning Yoda. The Jedi Council is questioning Yoda because Dooku went bad and Dooku was, they make the point, who hasn't Yoda trained?
Right.
Because
at some point, everybody was his Padawan for a minute, I think.
So,
everyone
does a little internship with Yoda, regardless if they're the full-time
Padawan. Well, it makes sense. Not. He is the Jedi Master of Masters, pretty much.
So, he's the Iron Chef of Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
He's the chairman. Anyway.
Nice. On 2 days.
That got loud. It's great. He fights a dark avatar of himself.
Yeah.
He's offered the chance to, find the dark side. What's the name of the planet? It's
Moribond.
Moribond.
Yeah.
Which is the ancient homeworld of the Sith. He doesn't realize that's what it is when he gets there.
Right.
I'm not the biggest Yoda fan in the world. I think if you need to point blame at the reason a lot of things happened, Yoda. Like the things that went wrong, it's Yoda and his indecisiveness. Maybe Yoda decides hey, I train Anakin. Obi-Wan, you're a very nice man, but you think that with the
experience that he had, if he would have been the one that said, train Anakin, I will.
I also think that his arrogance and not wanting to admit that the Jedi were becoming less powerful led to this. And I think this episode this arc really shows that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It really shows that after 900 years, he's forgotten more about the Force.
Maybe he should have retired.
Than everybody's gonna know. But who's he going to give the mantle to? Who's going to step up and be in charge?
There was nobody that I think really could have done.
And I think that's probably
of all the
why he hung
council
on
that
the way
we've seen.
Did. Yeah, I mean that Jedi Council was like
where they were just holding on to a belief system that it's like every belief system evolves in the real world and in the fictional world, but it's one of those things where Yoda, Mace.
Yeah.
And all of them guys had been holding on to a belief system that had existed for a couple thousand years. Yeah. And it wasn't working anymore because, the Sith had returned. And, in the end, you fight fire with fire.
Right.
If the Jedi, in the story, and obviously George Lucas had this all planned out
air quotes planned out.
But he had it all planned out in a way that, it was just the story of the Skywalkers.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were writing this story, it would go a different way.
Yeah.
If I was writing this story, it would go a different way because I would not let the Jedi do what they did to Anakin. I think that they manipulated him as much as Palpatine did.
Well, I mean, shouldn't Yoda have recognized how powerful this kid was
and
said, hey, I'm going to groom you to be the next leader of this group.
Right.
You've lived... forget about Jake Lloyd and any of that. He lived a life before he got to where he needed to be.
He was the exception to all the Jedi.
He loved his mom. He grew up with his mom. He didn't know his dad. If his dad is really the
midichlorians,
the living embodiment of the, he's the living embodiment of the Force then, right?
Right.
He is the cosmic force made real.
Right. Well, it was the thing is like, you know, and it's the thing that I would like Marvel to be able to do a what if type book for the Star Wars universe.
Axel Alonso, please make that happen.
Yeah. And, you know, give me a drop an email because I got some ideas. I've got some ideas. I don't want to throw them all out there, but I would like to see a different path taken on this story and show
we have a tie blog. It to the Clone Just Wars. Just start writing it.
Yeah. Well, no, but then people steal ideas.
Just,
you know?
We'll copyright it. Just start writing it. So anyway, no, and then so I mean, like Netflix, they did a great thing. They did like giving us 10 more.
Well,
episodes.
Not it wasn't even just those episodes. They brought the whole series on the day they premiered the 6th season. Everything was on there,
right? And that's how I got to
And then literally, you got to watch everything again. I own them all.
Yeah,
obviously, I don't have the lost episodes, as they call them,
mm-hmm.
but I have all the 5 original seasons,
right?
And that, so I've gone back and watched them that way. But now Netflix, you have easy access to if you just want to watch a lightsaber fight you thought was cool.
Yeah,
and
oh, I mean, we pop on that episode where it was Sidious versus Maul versus Oppress.
Yeah, oh yeah,
and like I mean that's. You know, it's some of the best. I mean, this is like this almost makes me want all Star Wars to just be animated.
Yeah,
literally, it almost does.
Because they can do a lot more. I mean, you know, the human body only works so many ways in action that this and you know,
yeah,
the characters who weren't human looking that were part of the Jedi's. It's like makeup and CGI work so much. You know, and then it doesn't.
Right. I mean, then that's what
puppets are. And there were Jedis that showed up on this that I'm like, man, they did action figures of a lot of them. Where it's like, I got to have that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Like, there's, in Rebels, not this past episode, but the one before, Ahsoka's fighting both of the Inquisitors, right?
Yeah.
And there's a point where she just kind of kneels down and turns off her white blades and sets them down. And the Seventh Sister, like, comes in for, like, the killing blow with hers. And she literally force stops it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that would not look good in live action, no matter how well, like, lit and shot and composed. It only works in animation.
Well, and, you know, we don't want to jump on Rebels at the moment, but I do want to see what happened between her leaving and her showing up on Rebels.
Yeah.
Because obviously she's been around the whole time. But it's like, she doesn't know what happened to Anakin. She doesn't know what happened to Obi-Wan. You know, and I want to see what she was doing.
Yeah, where was she?
Where did those white blades come from?
Yeah.
So, and we'll talk about that next week, obviously. We'll
definitely.
You know, there is a list of the lost season, as I'm calling it.
Yeah, that'll be on the website.
Yeah, Brian's going to put that up on the website. And you can go look at IMDb's trivia. They give reference to where some of those stories were used in comic books and novels.
Oh, cool.
So just check that out on IMDb. Go to look up Star Wars Clone Wars and hit the trivia button, and it literally lists everything they were planning to do, including, I think, what was built up to be going into Revenge of the Sith that would have been the actual finale. Because I think season 7 was planned to be the last season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you can go on there and just check it out. You know, we hope you enjoyed listening to us talk about some of our favorite episodes.
Yeah.
Email us. Let us know, you know, what some of your favorite episodes were. I'm thinking a lot of people might have the same episodes.
Yeah, I think so.
Tell us why. You know, let us know, like on Facebook.
Yeah, theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com.
Exactly.
Tweet at us, infamouspodcast. And hey, we actually earlier this week sat down with Marvel writer and image writer Brandon Montclair.
Yeah.
That interview is up and live on the website, on iTunes, anywhere where you listen to podcasts. Brandon was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun interview.
He got really candid. Which was fun.
It's always appreciated, you know, when a writer / editor will talk about things that you don't think they're actually going to talk about.
Yeah. And he just brought stuff up. And yeah. I was like, yes, go with that. So
yeah, he was fun to talk to. And you know, if there's other writers, artists out there who want to talk to us, you know, if it's an indie book or if it's a company book, we'll talk to you.
We love comics and we want to talk about it.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the show for this week.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Sorry for the long one there.
But... Star Wars, you know, when we start talking about it, it's on.
Yeah, we're a couple Star Wars nerds.
I was there from the beginning, pretty much.
Yeah. I was, like, in womb. I was in utero when it happened, so...
Well, but the first movie came out in 76, so...
No, 77.
77.
Yeah, May 5th or
And I seen
whatever.
It a year later.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm one of the OGs.
I mean, I was born the year that it came out. I just wasn't...
Right.
...yet. But Empire was my first movie in the theater. Okay. So at like 3.
Star Wars was my first theater experience. So,
but, yeah. All right. So, hey guys, 5-star reviews, right?
Yes.
Not 4 stars, Johnny. 5 stars.
5 stars. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I forget about that.
Yeah.
I'm not an iTunes user, so I, you know, don't think about that.
We'll
but...
get you there. We'll get you there. But no,
yeah.
You know, reach out to us. We definitely want to know, what you guys think, what you thought of this series and where does it stand in just the mythos of Star Wars.
Yeah.
For me, it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. I mean, we have discussions about it on a normal basis.
I regularly just bring it up to people.
I mean, if when you're looking on the website at the picture that is going to be the banner for this episode,
it's on your,
yeah, I literally took the clones at one point and just like made a, pretty much a battle scene with them all, so
yeah.
And then Brian tweaked it a little bit, so
anyway, but
we hope you enjoy.
Yeah, we hope you guys enjoy this. We'll talk about Rebels next week. It won't be as long because
right, yeah.
There's not as much to talk about.
You know, and on that note, if you're at the store right now, TV Guide has the Rebels on the cover.
Oh, cool.
And it's Kanan and Darth Vader. Okay. So, you know, I just picked it up. I haven't looked at it yet, Darth but Kanan. Just so you know, it has a little article in it about Star Wars on TV.
No.
So
cool.
Anything Star Wars that I'm seeing right now, I'm kind of like grabbing. So
like I'm bookmarking everything.
Yeah.
Like I know George Lucas saw The Force Awakens.
And yeah. Yeah. Like, you're
everything is bookmarked.
Well, you're spoil free right now, aren't you?
On December 19th.
Right. Yeah. You're gonna be busy reading on.
So. But yeah, ever since the last, like whatever, the trailer number 2, the final trailer.
Yeah.
Like I haven't seen anything. I haven't read anything.
There's some awesome stuff.
I don't want to know. I just
there's some awesome stuff to the point that Hasbro did a cease and desist.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I saw
a figure.
Somebody posted a picture of a
Rey figure.
Yeah.
I've seen it. And I'm like, you know, and just because like Hasbro tells you to take down something off your site, don't get mad for the fact that
I'm gonna disagree with this. They legally bought the figure.
Okay, like, they legally bought the figure, but here's where the problem starts because I work in retail. On the boxes in the back room, it probably said do not put out until this date.
That's not that guy's fault.
It's not that guy's fault, but the fact that he just goes on a rampage and says Hasbro is ruining everything.
Well,
no, they're not.
That's a little far. So.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, you know, just be nice.
I have a friend who works at Hasbro. We should see if we can get her on the show to just kind of talk about toys at some point.
Right.
But yeah,
we know a couple of the bros from Hasbro because of Kenner.
A couple bros of the Has.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, we'll try. We might try and get a couple of people from Hasbro on.
So just Brandon Montclair's interview. You know, go back and listen to our interview with Miguel and Susie from Seven Robots.
Go back and check out the whole, you know, archive pretty much.
There was Jacques Niem, who does Not So Super Comics. He was great to talk to.
Mike from Mike's Vintage Toys. I mean, you know, that's a fun little episode and that, so.
But, I mean, definitely check it out. And, you know, we're kind of petering out here because it's lunchtime. We're hungry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, guys. Have a great week. We will be back next Friday for our regular show. We don't have anything special planned for midweek yet.
No, we're just going to do Rebels.
We'll do Rebels, and then that'll come out on Friday.
And then maybe do a Force Awakens.
And then we're probably going to do a Force Awakens review that we'll post on Monday.
Yeah.
So give everybody a chance for the weekend. On that note, I'm Brian.
Johnny.
And you guys have... or I guess, let's just do it. May the Force be with you.
Oh, wow. We went there.
Later.
Bum, 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 bum.